Today, we start a brand new sermon series. You don't want to miss any Sunday for the next 6 Sundays. You'll be so sad if you do, because I'm going to cause a lot of trouble and get everybody upset, and I just love doing that. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to hear it secondhand. You don't want to hear, did you hear what Pastor Dave said? But we'll start right out this morning. The new sermon series, title of it is, What Do You Believe? And no, my intention is not to cause trouble, but we want to talk about this whole idea of what do you believe, because there's a lot of confusion among Christians. A lot of Christians, people in this church, kind of think that all religions are really the same when you boil them down. They don't see the distinction about Christianity. And a lot of Christians have bought into the lie that there are many ways to God. That there's not just one way, and so they struggle with it. And so over the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, we're going to talk about a number of different religions and organizations, things like Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, Scientologists, Catholicism, Islam, and then other groups. You know, we're going to talk about Masonry and some other issues. So you want to be here. Why? So here's a question. Why would I teach something like this? The reason I teach something like this is so that you can get in really good arguments with people and beat them down and win the argument. Like if you've got a Mormon friend, I want you to hammer them. And by the time we're done, you're going to probably realize Vineyard is the only true church. So that's really, okay, now Chip, you will erase that. You will erase that, because when they want to, you know, cause trouble, they'll be, did you know what he said? No, I'm not telling you this material so that you can get in arguments. You're wasting your time if you're getting in an argument. You're wasting your time. Arguing with people doesn't accomplish anything. There may be other ways to beat them, but arguing's not. You know, especially, I've just never been into the idea of when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door that I'm going to convince them that they're wrong. I've tried over the years, and I just found that to be counterproductive. These people are indoctrinated. I had some a while back into my door. It's like, I'm not interested. See it. I know some of you think that's your passion. You know, I'm thinking, listen, why don't you use your passion to help your friend or your coworker or your neighbor or your relative who may be struggling with some of these ideas about Jehovah's Witness, Scientology, Mormonism, and they may be asking you questions. It would be nice for you to be able to tell them in a loving way how Christianity is distinct, why it's not like all the other religions, and you can help people. Now, one of the sad things, the reason these religions and these false religions are so popular is because a lot of people, they're relative type people. Not like relative like your cousins, aunts, uncles, mom and dad, but relative like relativism. Or another word for it more common today is all inclusive. A lot of people don't like the idea of excluding somebody out. They don't like the idea that you can be dogmatic. That's just offensive. And so people don't like that. And so whenever we start talking about Christianity and how it is exclusive, is not all inclusive. It does mean some people are not going to make it. It cuts people off, and it's like, oh, some people just can't handle that. But we're going to talk about biblical truth, and the hope is you start dealing with this, because here's the thing, especially young people growing up in the church. At some point in every Christian's life, you have to come to grips with, are you in or are you not? Whether you like everything about the Christian faith or not, whether you understand everything about the Christian faith, at some point you make a decision, I'm in. This is that part where you read the story of Peter when all this stuff was going on in Jesus' ministry and there was a lot of confusion and misunderstandings and people saying things that Jesus said and misquoting him, and people had said, and many of his disciples left him, many of his friends, not peripheral people, but his best friends said, I can't do it. And he said to Peter, Peter, are you in or aren't you? And I'm convinced when Peter said, we're in, I think also pretty fairly to say this, that he didn't fully understand everything Jesus was saying, but he knew enough when he said, we know you're the Messiah, and I'm in. And so my hope is that you can come to grips with this in your faith and you say, I am a follower of Christ. I'm behind him. I'm joining up with him. And I believe this will help you in your decisions as you go through life. And my hope is that you can help other people, especially those who are asking or who may be heading down the wrong path, that you might be able to help them, give them some information to maybe lead them in the right way. Because here's the bottom line. All religions are not the same. Christianity is different. It is distinct. And I've boiled it down. I'm all about keeping things simple. I've boiled it down to what I call the three S's. If you get this right, chances are you're going to be on target. And this is what we'll talk about this morning real quickly. The three simple S's. S's. S for Savior, S for salvation, and S for Scripture. If you get these three right, you're on target, heading in the way that the Bible teaches. You get this wrong, and I believe all other religions get this wrong. Now, just for clarity, I'm not saying that all other religions are bad and that they have nothing to offer. You know, every religion has something to offer. I mean, they offer, you know, things like you should live a good life and you should be humble and you should serve people. And so they all teach that. And I think the other thing that's kind of a draw sometimes for these false religions is they're sort of trendy and they catch people, especially if someone cool in school or someone you think is cool is doing it. It's like, oh man, have you heard so-and-so? He's into, you know, he's into Mormonism. And it's like, really? That sounds pretty cool. Or he's a Buddhist now and he chants and he has a mantra and you kind of, you know, you get, you know, or have you heard about Tom Cruise and John Travolta? They're into Scientology and it's a lot of people getting involved. And, you know, you kind of get drawn into this, but you have to be able to say, listen, man, what are they teaching and how is that different from my Christian faith? So let's start this morning by the very first one, Savior. We'll talk about how the Christian faith is very clear on how we view Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, all other religions will differ from this. Passages in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now let me just help you out. You do not need to know Greek. You don't need to know Hebrew. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to understand what this means. Jesus is saying clearly, I am the only way. I am the only way to heaven. All other religions vary on this. Like, they will recognize Jesus as a prophet. They all honor Jesus. They all respect Jesus. They don't put him down. But they will never say he's the only way. None of the other prophets, I'm not a specialist on all these other religions, but what I have read and learned over the years, none of these other prophets or people who have started these other religions ever dared to say what Jesus said when he said, I'm the man. I love the book written by C.S. Lewis. If you've never read it, it is a classic. It's in my top 10 best books ever read in my entire life, Mere Christianity. It's a must read. C.S. Lewis says, you cannot call Jesus a good man. You cannot. He either was God in the flesh, like he claimed to be, or he was insane, an insane heretic. And this is where there's a difference. So these other religions will say he was a good man, he's a prophet. Listen, folks, if I stood here this morning and I said to you, I'm God. Like that, I'm God. How would you handle that? You better not say you would accept it. You wouldn't anyway, I know you wouldn't. See, definitely not you. You might say Roxana is, or my kids are, or Mark is, or Chip is, but you probably wouldn't say I was. I mean, but if I said that, wouldn't that hurt your head a little bit? Like you go, whoa, you are crossing a line there, Dave. I can tell you I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to live a good life. I'm honoring God. I move in the Holy Spirit. Fine. You cross a line when you say, I'm the only way to heaven. Read this other passage out of the Gospel of John this week. It's just, these things in the Bible are just ringing so loud in my head, but there's a passage in John where Jesus said to the crowd, you will die in your sins unless you believe in me. And you want to talk about offensive or crossing lines. I mean, what he was saying is, you're going to hell unless you believe in me. Now, that's a crazy man, unless it's real. Jesus did not hesitate. All other religions miss this point. They don't think Jesus is the only way. And I realize that is offensive because it is exclusionary. It is not all-inclusive. There are not many paths to God. They don't all lead to God. There's only one. Jesus was making it very clear. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way to God. No one will get to God unless they go through him. That is a place where you have to come to grips with your Christian faith. Do you believe that or don't you? That is Christianity. That's Christianity. How about the second S? Savior, a salvation. So here's a passage in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Every false religion struggles with this. This is what we call grace. Another passage Paul wrote in Ephesians, while we were dead in trespasses and sins, God made us alive in Christ, for by grace you are saved, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. This is so unique in Christianity. If you get this right, you're on the right path. If you get this wrong, you're heading down the wrong path. Christianity is the only religion that teaches you cannot earn your salvation. Every other religion adds things like, well, if you do certain deeds, if you deny yourself, if you punish yourself, if you do a lot of good deeds. And you know what's really sad? Liberal Christian churches teach this now. Lots of liberal Christian churches teach if you follow the Ten Commandments. And you can tell if a person is heading down this path because they'll say things like, well, when I die, if I've been good enough, God will let me in heaven. If I'm trying to get to heaven, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. That is missing the teaching of Christianity. The teaching of Christianity is you cannot earn your salvation, period. It's a gift. It's a gift granted to anyone who will accept the gift. It comes in the work of Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He would never have died. He chose to die on our behalf. Only he could do that. That's why his virgin birth is so important. He did not inherit sin. He was the second Adam. Deep theology there, but it's real simple. He died for me. My good deeds can never earn salvation. And when you understand this, there's such peace. Think about heading down the path that says you better be good if you want to get to heaven. When do you know you're good enough? When have you attained enough good deeds? You just keep trying to stack them up and you're always wondering. I'm saved by grace. I'm confident in my salvation. I'm secure in my salvation. I don't have to worry that I have to do good deeds to earn my entrance into heaven. That when I get to heaven, I don't have to worry that St. Peter is going to be looking and go, Dave, you just missed it. You know, if you just did a few more good deeds, sorry, see ya. I'm going to be in the group when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord. I've known you. Passage in the Gospel of Luke, he said, I've known you. I've known you. Now, good deeds are important. The Epistle of James, the entire letter is written about the importance of good deeds. So we're not saying that doing good deeds, living a good life, serving, laying down your life, forgiveness, giving, they're all important, but they are the result of a heart transformed by God. They're not efforts to earn salvation. All other religions miss this point and head you down a path saying, if you do certain things, you will get to heaven, and you live a life of uncertainty. Salvation. A Savior, there's only one. Salvation, there's only one way. By grace, it is a gift of God. And then the third S, Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. It seems to me today that many Christians are even struggling with this. For sure, false religions struggle with this because they'll always add another book. So you have the Book of Mormon, or you have the Quran, and you've got the Watchtower, and you've got all the Scientology, you got all this other stuff. And what they'll say is, yes, the Bible is a good book. No false religion is going to miss that. They know it's a good book. But what they'll say would be something like, well, it's incomplete. It never really got finished. We're finishing it. Or what we find today, even among Christians, it's a good book, but it's got a lot of mistakes. It's incomplete. It's got some inaccuracies. I could spend weeks on teaching you why you can trust the Bible. Actually, I brought a book I did, I think, a couple years ago. It says 10 Reasons You Can Trust the Bible. 10 simple reasons. Great material. It's for sale in our cafe. I'm pushing it because you ought to have this so you could go over it yourself. The profits don't go to me in any way, shape, or form. They all go to the Luke's Brigade. But this will just tell you there's 10 clear reasons why the Bible can be trusted. I think sometimes among Christians, they want to paraphrase this, and they should say it something like this. Instead of all, they would say most. A lot of Scripture was inspired by God, and most of it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But folks, it says all. Does all mean all or most? I mean, come on, this is the kind of stuff where it's like, I don't need to know Hebrew and Greek. It's great if you can be multilingual, bilingual, and it does help you to learn other languages. You do get a better understanding of Scripture. It does help if you know history behind Scripture and how the Bible came together. That all helps. But just read this simply, like Jesus said, unless you accept the kingdom of God as a little child, you're not going to make it. This is so clear. All Scripture, it means every passage, every place. Sometimes you hear, well, there's theologians, you know, with these great degrees who are proving the Bible is full of inaccuracies. Well, listen, for every one who has a degree that says it's inaccurate, there's at least two who have their degrees as well, who know how to speak these other languages clearly and have studied it, who will say, no, every contradiction that you think is a contradiction is not. Every place it looks like a mistake, it is not. Whenever the Bible speaks on history, meteorology, biology, medicine, anything, it's accurate. The Bible was not written to be a history book. It wasn't written to be a medical journal. But what it says, it's accurate. And the fact is, most of the time, it was thousands of years ahead of man's knowledge. It seems to me like men are just still trying to catch up with the wisdom of the Scripture. But folks, this is a foundational truth. This is the third S. Either this book is accurate 100% from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelations, or it isn't. You cannot pick and choose. Some people struggle right off the bat, Genesis 1. Well, I don't know. I think that's symbolic. I think those days were really thousands of years. No. It was 24-hour days. The creation is a literal story. It's the foundation of your Christian faith. If you waver there, first of all, if you miss that, you miss the whole understanding of salvation. If you cannot get the creation story right, there is no need for a Savior. Clearly. If there was death, disease, destruction before there was sin, by saying millions of years of death, disease, and destruction before there was sin, then what did sin do? Zero. Nothing. Then why do I need a Savior to save me from sin, which did nothing? It has to be as the Scripture said. All was good. God looked and beheld. Sin brought death, disease, and destruction. Along came a Messiah born of a virgin without sin who could choose to die on our behalf. All Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. But here's the thing, folks. Way too many Christians, especially in America, Bible illiterate. I challenge you as a Christian, you should be passionate about reading this book regularly. Maybe you don't do it every day, but come on, folks. If you have not read from Genesis to Revelations at least once in your Christian life, that needs to be at the top of your to-do list, not your bucket list, just before I die. Read it. We have what we call our weekly reading. I put a little devotional in the bulletin. If you follow that, it's a 3-year reading schedule, 2 years through the New Testament, one, or maybe it's 4 years, whatever it is. You'll get through it. Just keep reading. I have read this book for really over 40 years. I've read the Bible for 40 plus years. I've memorized passages. I've taught out of it. I'm telling you, this book is alive. It is alive. It will transform your life. It will guide you in your everyday decisions, but you have to put your trust in it. Either you trust it or you don't. But folks, these are the three S's. You got a Savior, either he's the way or he isn't. You have the way of salvation, either it's a gift or it isn't. And you have this thing called Scripture, either it is inspired by God or it isn't. So just in closing, one last scripture, what should you do? The King James translation is a little different. The Old King James says, study to show yourself approved. The New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, rightly dividing the truth. You need to be founded in the scriptures so that you can clearly make the decisions for your life and you can clearly define what it is that you believe. Jesus said, if you know the truth, it will set you free. Folks, you want to know the truth. Do not get caught up in all this other stuff going on, worldly religions, you know, semi-Christian faiths. Be clear where you stand and be able to help others who may be struggling. Amen? Let's stand up. God, I thank you. I thank you that you have opened our eyes. It's not as though we're so smart and we're so worthy, but you have opened our eyes. God, I pray you guide us as we try to navigate all the things that are going on around us, that we would be biblically based, that we would not be caught off guard, we would not be led astray, but that, God, we would find clear direction from you, your Holy Spirit, your word. I pray for everyone here, God, that if they have not come to a place in their life where they've made the decision that they're all in, that they're 100% behind you and what you say and your ways, God, that you would clarify for them. If they're struggling with the relativism and everybody finds their own truth and maybe there are many ways, God, that you could show them your plan. That it would bring peace and excitement, God. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We delight in your presence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take our offering at this time. It's here right now. Just feel your stirring and speaking to each of us. It's during that worship and it's during this time where you just get that personal connection with God. You heard the word preached, but here's the communion part. You're connecting with God right now. And I just want to take a minute and just kind of press in a little bit here. You know, I do sense that anytime we gather on Sunday, there's always people here that maybe are not real sure about their Christian faith. Maybe today's your first Sunday, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, but I just want to take a moment and challenge you. Have you come to a place in your life where you made that decision, where you decided that you wanted to be a follower of Christ? Not just go to church, not just continue down the path that your mother and father set you on, but have you come to a place in your life where you decided, I want to be a follower of Christ? The Bible calls that conversion. The Bible calls that being born again. It's a time where you surrender control of your life and you accept God as your Lord. And I just sense there's some people here that God's speaking to about that. And maybe it may be like a rededication. Maybe at a younger age you did that, but you're looking at yourself now and you're realizing, I've strayed from that commitment. I just want to take a minute here this morning and pray. And God's knocking at the door of your heart and calling you to him and asking you to surrender your life to him. It's the best decision you'll ever make. You won't ever regret it, but it's a decision only you can make. And so I'm going to pray here. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, we're just going to ask you to raise your hand and We're going to pray a real simple prayer right where you're standing, but we believe in that prayer that God is going to honor you and something new is going to start. So Holy Spirit, right now, just do that special work. That special work only you can do, God. Knock at the door of some hearts here this morning. They've been closed for whatever reason, but this morning, God, there's a crack and it's starting to open. And I pray, Holy Spirit, they hear your voice. If you're sensing that tug at your heart right now this morning, would you just do me a favor, right where you're standing, just raise your hand and say, Pastor Dave, I want to make a decision this morning. Right back here is a hand up. Hold them up. We're going to pray for you. Anybody else, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. You want to make a decision today. You want to turn some things around or renew that commitment to God. Anybody else this morning, just hold your hand up. Anybody else? All right. I'm going to pray with you, man. Let's just pray with our brother. He's got his hand raised right here. So everybody just bow your head. Let's say this together. Jesus, I surrender my life to you right now. Please forgive me of all my sins. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just fill this man right now, Holy Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, all darkness and sin leave. God, fill him now with your light, your life, and your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Just let him come right now, man, in the name of Jesus. Be made new in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Good for you. Good for you, man. Good for you. Awesome, man. And we're going to close with one last song, but you know, I just want to open the front up here to you and just say, I think there's some of you here this morning need to come forward, and I got this feeling some of you have been on the fence with your Christian faith. I mean, you're truly a Christian, but you really haven't said, I'm all in, man. That's above I understand everything or I agree with everything, but it's just this decision to say, I am all in. I am 100% sold out to Jesus Christ. And so as we close at worship, if you just feel like you need to kind of get that off your chest, we're just going to open the front up, come up and just pray and worship the Lord, and we'll close out our service. Thank you.
God, would you just perform surgery where it's needed? Would you just operate and remove whatever it is that has the blinders up, that has the walls up, Lord? We just love you so much. Here at Vineyard Community Church, we are ready. Just come and have your way. I just pray for divine appointments for each of you this week, that you would just really see God's hand and know without a doubt that it's God. We just love you so much, Jesus. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next Sunday.